You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
You see, ministry is done in the context of relationship. I'm going to say it again. Ministry is done in the context of relationship. So if we're not making any connections, grace is at a standstill. Maybe it's time to get some invites and make some appearances of grace.
When you take an inventory of the relationships in your life, do you find that you're invested in those who don't yet know Jesus? If you only surround yourself with people who think and act like you, you're not able to be a conduit of God's grace to those who truly need it. Pastor Dion reveals Jesus did ministry wherever he was because he was about relationships. His friends list included tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. God freely gave you his grace so that you can give it to those who are desperate for it. Now here's Pastor Dion in the book of Galatians chapter 6 with today's edition of The Simple Truth.
Well guys, in the first five chapters of this letter, the Apostle Paul reminded the Galatians and us about God's wonderful gift of salvation. Everybody say salvation. Through this book, from the beginning, the first five chapters, Paul has been reminding us about God's wonderful gift of salvation. Been reminding us that God's salvation is a package deal. It's a showcase of prizes. It's an extravaganza of gifts. God's salvation is more than just a get out of hell free card. It has and includes so many, many things. In fact, here's what we found out in the first five chapters that our salvation includes. Our salvation includes, number one, everybody say it, forgiveness. It included, number two, regeneration. It includes, number three, righteousness. It includes, number four, adoption, which also includes an inheritance. It also includes, everybody say it, the Holy Spirit or everyday help. The person of the Holy Spirit helping us. So we found out that our salvation is more than a get out of hell free card, but it is this extravaganza of gifts. This package is a gift of grace. Say it out loud, a gift of grace. We don't have to work for it, earn it, deserve it. God gives this package deal to us of salvation when we believe. In fact, here's the verse, Ephesians 2, verse 8. We've been quoting it throughout this particular study. Read it with me. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Aren't you guys glad? We don't have to deserve it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. This extravaganza of gifts, of this great salvation, is given to us by the grace of God. Now, the more we learn about this gift of grace, the more we learn about salvation and all that it provides, and the more that we soak in it, the more it should flavor and color our attitudes, our actions, and our behaviors, right? I don't think you heard me. The more we hear about it, the more we understand it, the more we put our arms around this wonderful salvation that we've been given, the more it should change our attitudes, our actions, and everything about us. Can you say amen? Now, that is definitely right. Hey, when you eat at your favorite greasy restaurant, people know where you've been, right? Go like that. They can smell it on you. You carry the scent. When your breath reeks of onions or garlic or cabbage, people know what you've been eating, right? They say, ¿qué comiste? ¿Coles o asina oles? Right? They say that. Translation is, I smell what you've been stepping in. That's a translation, huh? They smell it. They can tell. Well, guys, the longer we walk in the garden, the more likely we are to smell like flowers. The more we immerse ourselves in grace, the more likely we are to give grace. And so Paul teaches us that our actions should reflect that we've been bathing in God's grace. Listen, if they can smell the greasy spoon on you, if they can smell what you've eaten for breakfast or lunch, certainly they should be able to tell where you have been soaking when it comes to God's grace. Can you say amen? God's grace. In fact, let's read it. Chapter 5, verse 26 is where we'll start. And here's what it says. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We'll stop right there. You know, you've heard me say many times that God is more like a paramedic than a police officer. You've heard me say that many times, right? Because the paramedic arrives, and when he arrives, he isn't concerned with whose fault it is, with who should get the citation, or who's guilty. That's not his concern. The paramedic's only concern is to help and heal the hurting, the broken, the sick. That's what he shows up for. Not to see who's at fault, who caused this accident, why did this happen. That's not the paramedic's concern. The paramedic's concern is to help and to heal the hurting. Well, guys, we have received that kind of attention from God. A paramedic style. Not concerned about where we've been and why we are the way we are and what happened and it's your fault. He just shows up to help and to heal. We get that kind of attention from God. And he wants us to give that kind of attention to others. The first thing Paul urges us to do is this. Everybody say it out loud. There you go. Share the love. So God is saying, hey, listen, Paul is saying, I'm explaining to you this great and immense and wonderful salvation, this extravaganza of gifts that's involved. And here's what God asks you to do. Now that you have it, now that you understand it, you should share the love. Say it out loud again. Share the love. Now, it might surprise you that some Christians avoid people. You know, they act like they might get cooties or leprosy from people. They avoid people like a skunk at a picnic. You know what I'm saying? They just avoid it. They steer clear from any type of interaction with people. There are some people like that. They're antisocial, insulated, disconnected. Then there are other Christians that act like people are an interruption, a nuisance, an inconvenience. What do they want? What do they need now? I just want to be left alone. Don't bother me. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you right now. Just look at him and tell him that. You know, Jesus' disciples asked him to put the do not disturb sign out one time. They did. Send the crowds away, they told Jesus. See, they saw the crowds as a disturbance, but Jesus saw them differently. Here's the verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Read it with me. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus didn't see people as a drain, but like sheep needing direction and help and care. Jesus didn't see people as problems, but as an opportunity to share grace. Isn't that exciting, guys? I think that's what he's implying to us. Hey, listen, you might avoid people, but listen, don't. Look at your neighbor and say, don't. So some Christians avoid people and some people avoid some Christians. So there are some Christians that avoid people. And there are some people who avoid some Christians. Oh, yeah. Especially the proud, prejudiced, and condescending ones. Especially those ones. They avoid them. You know, the ones who look down their noses and speak with an exclamation point. You're in sin. You need to repent. These holier-than-all Christians pride themselves in their rigid disciplines. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do, right? The list of all the things they don't do is a mile long. I don't cuss, I don't dance, I don't get tats, and I definitely don't go to parties. Well, don't worry, no one's going to invite you to one, Joy Kill. Did you ever notice how many parties Jesus was invited to? And not to provide entertainment or extra coverage, you know, like in case we run out of wine, it's, you know, he's good to have around. Or in case, you know, we run out of bread because he multiplies that too. Or in case the weather doesn't cooperate, because after all, Jesus can really just calm the storm. Yeah. They didn't invite Jesus for that reason. Even though Jesus was pretty nifty with that stuff. But that's not why they invited him. Jesus was invited because people liked him. Jesus' Facebook page was trending. And not just with church friends. Jesus was popular with the riffraff, with tax collectors and sinners. They didn't consider Jesus a killjoy, a know-it-all, a party crasher. Jesus didn't have a long face. Jesus was fun to be around. Say it out loud. Jesus was fun to be around. You know, some religious folks might find that statement irreverent, blasphemous, or disrespectful. They think Jesus and fun shouldn't even be in the same sentence. Jokes and sermons, laughter in church, Jesus and fun. Sacrilege! That's what some of them say. Those folks get as hostile as Democrats at a Trump rally. Protests and walkouts. But the truth is that Jesus attended parties and had fun. Not fun in debauchery or adultery or drunkenness. Jesus never endorsed compromise or obscenity. But Jesus loved good food, good music, and connecting with people. Jesus never missed a service at the synagogue or a party that he was invited to. Wow. And if you read Jesus' story, you know that he did just as much ministry in both places. You see, ministry is done in the context of relationship. I'm going to say it again. Ministry is done in the context of relationship. So if we're not making any connections, grace is at a standstill. Maybe it's time to get some invites and make some appearances of grace. Not on your life, no way. Some people might. But that's what we need to do. See, the dry, pompous religious leaders were never invited to parties. They were never invited to the parties. They probably, it's like when Nacho sings in Nacho Libre. It's because they don't dance at the parties, right? That's why they didn't get invited. The religious leaders, they didn't get invited to the party, so they just lingered outside watching and criticizing Jesus. where he hung out, who he was hanging out with, who touched him, and what and how much he had to drink. That's what they were recording. The religious leaders send out tweets about Jesus that dripped with disapproval and condemnation. Here was hashtag blasphemy. Here's what they said, Luke chapter 5, this was their tweet. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also are with him. But the Pharisees and their teachers and the teachers of the religious law complained bitterly. Here's the tweet. Why does he eat and drink with such scum? Wow. Well, Jesus tweeted back. Here it is. Read it out loud with me. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That ought to give you, it deserves an applause, isn't it? Woo! See, the sick were important to Jesus, and they should be important to us. So Paul says that we should get off our high horse and help some folks. Burdens of guilt, burdens of doubt, burdens of depression, burdens of sickness, burdens of addiction, burdens. So here's what he's saying. Paul is saying we need to step down from our ivory towers and reach those who are struggling. Reach out to those who are struggling. Struggling with addiction or anger or lust or compromise or immorality or temptation. Reach out to people who are struggling with sickness or age or poverty. Reach out to people who are struggling with faithfulness or devotion and discipline. They just are having a hard time with it. Let us reach out to people that some might consider needy or greedy or sneaky or greasy or freaky, right? Help them bear their burdens. See, we need to sideline our attitudes of disapproval, of pride, of prejudice, of judgment, and self-importance. Everybody say that word, self-important. So there are some times that we avoid people or we have an attitude towards people, and that's why we don't. And Paul says, hey, listen, this salvation that you've received, if you're soaking in it, it's the grace of God. It should make you more gracious. And so you shouldn't have an eye of prejudice and look at people with a stink eye because of their background or their color or their tats or their whatever, their appearance. He said, no, we should reach out to people in their burdens. We should reach out to the needy, the greedy, the greasy, the freaky, all of them. Laying down our attitudes of disapproval or self-importance. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. Here's what he goes on to say. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And we'll stop right there. So Paul encouraged us to have some consideration, some compassion, some humility. Everybody say the word. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. In fact, let's say it together. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Now, it sounds good, but it's kind of hard to do. Are you with me? Well, nobody said it would be easy. Even the disciples had trouble with being humble. I mean, 3.5 years with Jesus. I mean, his person, his attitude, his miracles, his teaching, his model. 3.5 years, every day, 24/7, 365 with Jesus. And at the Last Supper, Jesus finds the disciples arguing. Not about doctrine, not about vision, not about mission, not about ministry styles, but about importance. Huh? Who's the greatest? Can you see Peter telling John, I've done wrestled an alligator, I've tussled with a whale, I've done handcuffed lightning and thrown thunder in jail. Well, last week I murdered a rock. I hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. I'm the greatest of all time. Can you see Peter telling John that? I'm important. I'm big. I'm something. Who's the greatest? You know, in the early 1500s, scientist and astrologer Ptolemy, he declared what everyone else wanted to hear, what they had suspected all along. We are the center of the universe. He came and he put a pin on a map, a solar map. He put a pin and said, the earth, right on the earth, this is the center of everything. Everything else revolves around us. And people said, yeah, we knew it all the time. We are the center. But then another guy, Nicholas Copernicus, came around. And he started asking questions. Well, why do we have seasons? Why does the seasons change? Why does this happen? Why does the tides change? Why does all of this happen? And that's when he discovered, guess what? He pointed to the sun and told everyone, that is the center of the universe. We revolve around it. Guess what? It didn't go over real well. Shut up, they told him. You're wrong. Oh yeah, it's all about us. Centuries later, even though we have the modern technology and know the facts, somehow you and I still think we are the center of the universe. I mean, we can get so enamored with ourselves. Busy, busy, busy. You would think we were the ones that keep the earth on its axis. You think we were the ones that keep the planets in order and the oceans contained and the sun on time. I mean, there's no time, no time, no, I have no time to slow down and serve. No way, I'm busy. As we cling to the simple truth,
what kind of testimony is your life to others? Are you exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul writes about in the book of Galatians? If you're leaning into the Holy Spirit as your source of strength and guidance in this life, then you'll find love, gentleness, self-control, and every other fruit are a natural result. It's easier to show patience and kindness when Jesus has been so kind and patient toward you. As you continue to study the book of Galatians with us here on The Simple Truth, we pray that you let Jesus be your example for living this life well. We'd be honored to pray for you while you walk with Jesus. So please let us know how we can do that. Give us a call at 505-753-4363. Do you live in the Española area? If so, we'd love to meet you. Come visit us at Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel on Sundays and Wednesdays for a time of worship, Bible study, and fellowship. We have a nursery and kids' church available for every service, so bring your family along. Find out more and get directions to the church by visiting tmcalvary.com. Before we end our time with you today, we'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially here at Simple Truth. Every amount given is greatly appreciated and used to further the reach of the gospel message. Find more information under the Donate tab at tmcalvary.com. Thank you for prayerfully considering this, and thank you for tuning in today to The Simple Truth. You're the one that we proclaim. We
fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together.